until she sends the Spirit. And she will be waiting, and then when she feels and sends the Spirit, then she will quickly rush to the platform and begin operating in the way that the way the Spirit of God have her to operate. So even in operating the gifts of the Spirit, you need to have faith in the manifestation of the Spirit that is coming to you and in hearing the voice of the Spirit. And the Spirit will be speaking to you. And the voice of the Spirit is important because not everything in details are recorded in the written word. Think about Philip. He was told by God to wait at a crossroads. How does he know which chariot? He has to learn to hear the voice of the Spirit. When the right chariot came, the Spirit of God told Philip, that's the one. So in the same way, we learn to hear the voice of the Spirit, so that sometime when the manifestation of the Spirit works, some of you ask, how come when people operate in the gifts of the Spirit, some people are very general, right? In a crowd of 2,000 people, you say, somebody here has a backache. Of course somebody will have a backache, right? That doesn't quite glorify the Lord, right? Of course it glorifies the Lord in that you're attempting to move in healing, but surely the gifts of the Spirit are more detailed than that. And the reason that people are not detailed enough is because they're not hearing. And in order to get more detail, sometimes you have a manifestation and you got to hear the Spirit of God. Or sometimes see what He's trying to show you. And so, when you operate it together and you have faith that you're hearing His voice, and there is no room for doubt. There is no room for doubt at all when you begin moving in that area. And you have to move fast. And do exactly as He tells you to. And so that's how when you can have a manifestation of the Spirit. For example, some of you could be sensing a healing for somebody in a certain area. How do you know which person? It may have to tie to what you're hearing. And sometimes the Spirit will give you the name of a person. And the Spirit may even describe how the person is dressed. And so we have experiences where in a World Trade Center, and it seats about 1,500 people, and there's a balcony seat. And during one of our first meetings there, the Spirit of God gave the person's sicknesses, the person's sickness, the person's name, and the person's dressing, and the exact position where the person is sitting. Because everyone say, the Spirit is here. He's there all the time. Except that we need to hear Him and be a channel. The Spirit of God is here right now. If you hear Him and you believe in Him, you use yourself to be a channel of Him, then people acknowledge His presence in our midst. And it's strange because I remember that person's name, the lady was wearing, if I remember clearly, she was wearing a yellow sari and her name was Mary. And it was unusual because nobody else calls her Mary, although that was a real name, except some of her close friends. But the Lord gave her name as Mary, the exact position. She came down and from a distance, she was slain in the Spirit and God healed her completely. It was... Now, how did that operate? It operated through, number one, a sensation. Number two, I hear the name whisper in my ear. Like a soft, still voice. It's a lady and her name is Mary. And I saw a vision. And I saw this Indian lady dressed in a yellow sari. So it takes three different things to come together to get the details. And in all those things, you need what I call faith. If I doubted the first manifestations, the rest will not come. So, in operating the gifts of the Spirit, we need faith also. In hearing the voice of God, in believing what He manifests. And as you believe and you flow along, more will come. From 1996 to the year 2006, it's the year of the blood. And God has begun to show me some of the most difficult truths to understand and which I'm bringing forth in this series. And that is the power of the blood. The power of the blood. And the power of the cross. And that's the title of this series. The power of the cross. And There's faith involved, but the faith is in a totally different dimension. See, there's faith in the realm of the power of the Word. There's faith in the realm of the power, working in the power of the Spirit. There's faith needed in the power of the cross. And I begin to understand more and more the power of the cross and how it can operate. Now, what is involved in here? In the power of the cross, your faith level actually goes one notch higher. It is faith that God is in control in all circumstances, even circumstances beyond your natural control. So the power of the cross is actually a notch higher. You see, faith in the word realm is faith in your ability or God's ability in you to control things. When you're believing God for God's promises to be fulfilled, you're in full control. You're confessing the word, believing the word, visualizing the word, exercising your faith and actions in the word of God. You're still in control. When you speak to the mountains and command the mountains to move, you're still in control. And the more you're in control, the better. Because faith in that realm is by you exercising the control and authority of Jesus. So it's a different dimension of faith. Faith in the Spirit, in operating with the Holy Spirit, is in learning to yield to Him. And just being an instrument, a clean instrument for Him to flow through. It's a different dimension. Now, faith in the power of the cross is a different level of faith. It is faith in such a manner that is exercised where you actually release control. You don't try to control, you release control, and by releasing control, you believe that God is in control. Not over one or two circumstances. But the power of the cross is where you release your faith in God, believing that God is in control of all circumstances that are occurring around the circumference of your life. Everything that touches the circumference of your life, that God is in control. That is a higher level of faith. Now, how is that released? Let's look at the life of Jesus when He's at the cross. A lot of the prophecies of Jesus were not fulfilled by Jesus acting them out. Let's look at when Jesus was at the cross. There were prophecies that were fulfilled which Jesus had nothing to do with. I mean, He was already at the cross. Look at John chapter 19. In Gospel of John chapter 19, verse 24, some of the prophecies here, when He was at the cross, they said therefore among themselves, that is after they have nailed Him to the cross, let us not tear it and cast lots for it. That is talking about His garments. Whose it shall be? That the scripture might be fulfilled which says, they divided my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. Therefore the soldiers did this things. Where was Jesus controlled to get this prophecy fulfilled? None. But by yielding to God at the cross of Calvary, God's Spirit took control of every single event, situation and circumstances, even of the actions of soldiers who have their own free will intact, who have their own mind, who have their own motivation. I mean, some of them still have greed in their lives, who are imperfect people, who seemingly, you would think that if imperfect people surround you, they're going to disrupt God's perfect will in your life. Not when you exercise the power, faith in the power of the cross. So here are soldiers who are imperfect, who are greedy for gain, who are not godly at all, apparently. They are among the soldiers who mocked Jesus when He was dying on the cross of Calvary. And they said among themselves, they make a decision. They didn't pray about the decision. They didn't seek God about the decision. They didn't even consult scripture to say, what prophecy shall we fulfill? No. They were just thinking of gain and greed, the normal things that right now the world is thinking of. And they said, let us not cut this garment, but let us cast lots to see who would get it. And in doing those things, they unwittingly fulfill the scripture. Who is in control? Was Jesus in control? No, Jesus has surrendered his control. He's nailed to the cross. There was nothing he could do to make that scripture be fulfilled by himself. But God was in control. Jesus had faith that by surrendering himself at the cross of Calvary and by releasing the control of his life to God at the cross of Calvary, that God was going to take control of not 70%, not 80%, not even 99%, but 100% of any events that contact the circumference of his life. 100% of it. That's how powerful faith in the power of the cross is. And God fulfilled the scripture without even the soldiers realizing it. And then there's the other prophecies. In fact, there are lots of prophecies that are fulfilled. We just take a few examples. In chapter 19, and apparently Jesus had given up his spirit in verse 30, and his spirit has already gone down to Hades to do his work. The physical body of Jesus was there at the cross, lifeless. So he was definitely completely out of control in the physical world. In fact, Jesus was no more in the physical world. But even with his lifeless body on the cross, in verse 31, therefore, because it was a preparation day that the body should not remain on the cross on the Sabbath, for that Sabbath was a high day, the Jews asked Pilate that their legs might be broken. Now, this is normal for many of those who were crucified in that time, because some of them die a long, painful death. But for Jesus, he fulfilled exactly his time, 6 hours, and then his spirit left the body. And for those who are not dead yet, the soldiers would break their legs to expedite their death. And in verse 32, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first and the other. So the two thieves on both sides got their legs broken. But when they came to Jesus, in verse 33, they did not break his legs. Because the scripture says in verse 36, not one of his bones shall be broken. Do you realize how amazing this is? Because if one of his bones had been broken, this prophecy would have been cancelled and impossible to come to pass. Even if one little finger bone of his was broken, that prophecy would have been cancelled. But God preserved the situation in such a manner that they just didn't do it at all. Even though they did it to the other two thieves, and even though they were compelled by the Jews to make sure their legs were broken. Why didn't the soldiers did it? Because Jesus had released faith in the cross, which is faith that God would take control of 100% of all events from henceforth. And he did. And that was the other scripture in verse 34. Instead of breaking his legs, one of the soldiers, which is unusual, they don't do it to anybody else, took a spear, pierced his side, and from his side blood and water came forth, which is symbolic too of water and blood, which is a symbol of the word and the cleansing blood of the Lamb. And even that piercing in verse 37 was to fulfill another scripture that said, they shall look on him whom they pierce. That's amazing. So look at the power of the cross. The power of the cross is exercising faith in God that and releasing control. It's different from faith in the word. You know, when you exercise faith in the word or faith through the word, you have to actually have a measure of control. The more in control you are with the authority of Christ, the better. But faith in the cross is the opposite. It's releasing control.